Welcome to the inaugural show of Healthy Aging, where our goal is to provide our listeners with resources to increase their overall well-being. My name is Debbie Kanine, Director of Admissions for SunTower's Retirement Community and President of the South Shore Coalition for Mental Health and Aging. Allow me to share with you a bit of history on the Coalition for Mental Health and Aging. We are an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization connecting South Shore residents with mental health and aging services. Our goal is for residents of all ages to live a healthy lifestyle by providing them with options to deal effectively with their personal challenges and relationships. Outreach includes a resource guide for South Shore that is updated annually in partnership with other nonprofit organizations such as the National Alliance on Mental Illness and the USF Byrd Health Alzheimer's Institute. We offer educational seminars, community-based memory screenings, and a referral service to help those who need assistance. We have expanded our support groups to focus on specific needs such as grief, caregiving, memory loss, Parkinson's, diabetes, and low vision, to name only a few. Our programming is dedicated to assist residents of all ages and stages of wellness. As your host for the show, I would like to share with you that I have been a resident of South Shore for more than 20 years. I sat on the board of the Coalition for the last 8 years and in May of 2015 was elected president of the organization. I am employed as the Director of Admissions for SunTower's Retirement Community and am fortunate that the management team believes in being a resource to our community, allowing me to volunteer when the opportunity presents itself. Before our series of segments begin, special gratitude is due the National Parkinson's Foundation, as without their financial generosity, this recording would not have been possible. NPF is on a mission to educate those who think they may have Parkinson's disease or those who have been diagnosed for years. The first 5 shows to kick off Healthy Aging will be focused on Parkinson's disease for this very reason. If you know someone who has PD or suspect the same of a loved one, sit back, relax, and allow the information to increase your knowledge of not only Parkinson's, but healthy aging in general. At our monthly Parkinson's support group meeting, we were recently blessed with our presenter, Mr. John Bauman, who is both a professor and an attorney and known as the Inspiring Esquire. As a national internet talk show host, John has appeared on CNN Headline News and is a proud person with Parkinson's. He inspired our members with his personal story. John's 12-year history of managing his trials related to PD is a surprisingly positive message. His presentation was recorded in order for us to share it with you, our radio audience. Here now is Mr. John Bauman.
I'm glad to hear a lot of you are excelling. I've never been called as someone that's excelling. I like that. I'm excelling. I got in from Saskatoon to Saskatchewan yesterday. That's a hard thing to say. I flew in, and boy, my arm's tired. But I'm bummed. No, I flew in from Saskatoon to Saskatchewan, and they say that Americans have a hard time saying Saskatchewan. And what I learned was that it's not how long summer was last year, to what day summer was. And that's the truth. That's what they talk about. I had a great time there. I spoke to a nice group, and I'm really glad to be here to speak to you today. Let me get right into it. Everybody has life-changing events. Everybody has life-changing events. It's not whether you have life-changing events or not, it's how many. And that's the first point I want to make, that you're going to have to deal with life-changing events. You're dealing with Parkinson's, a lot of you. You're dealing with a partner who has Parkinson's. That's a life-changing event. It's how you deal with that, it's how you handle that, that defines you as a person. And that's the theme of what I'm talking about here. A lot of people want to give up, and that's their choice. It's a tough thing. Parkinson's, as one doctor said, sucks. I'm not going to blow smoke. I'm not one of the candidates for president that is going to not tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. And the truth is, Parkinson's is not a good thing. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But you got to deal with it. It's something you got to deal with. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, better.
A little better.
Okay. Want me to start over? Just kidding. So Parkinson's and being a care partner with someone with Parkinson's is tough too. That's the life-changing event for you. You've already had a full plate and you're adding to it. So it's tough, it's a burden. Finding out. Let me talk about finding out. When I first found out I had Parkinson's, I was 41 years old. I actually went to a hand doctor. I had I had surgery on my thumb, and when they took the cast off, my arm didn't swing and my hand tremored. And I went to see this famous hand surgeon, and he looked at my hand and said, I said, did you cut a nerve or something? He said, if I cut a nerve, your hand wouldn't move at all. And then he didn't say anything after that. What should have been the next words out of his mouth? Go see a neurologist. Should have said go see a neurologist, but there's such a lack of awareness, and there has been forever in the medical community, that he didn't think of go see a neurologist. I had to hear that from another doctor friend of mine who said go see a neurologist, and I went to see a neurologist. I was 41 years old. I'd heard that Michael J. Fox was 29 when he got it, but I didn't expect to hear those words. I handed the doctor my paperwork, and she said, you have Parkinson's disease. I said, you haven't looked up my nose, you haven't hit my knee with a hammer, you haven't taken blood, you haven't done anything. She said, well, your handwriting's illegible. I said, I'm an attorney, of course it's illegible. She said, well, you've got other symptoms too. Your face is expressionless, and you don't blink. And if you notice, I don't blink, and my face is expressionless. Really good choice to become an inspirational speaker when you can't have facial expressions and you don't blink. But that's beside the point. So she said, you have Parkinson's. I said to her, I want a confirmatory test. And I want a confirmation of this. And she said, the only confirmatory test is an autopsy. So I turned that down. I chose not to have an autopsy. I think that was a smart decision. I actually went through, well, the first emotion I went through was, was shock. This is shock. Remember in Home Alone when he hits his face with the aftershave? That's shock. And I think I'm still in shock. And I truly believe that we all have post-traumatic stress disorder. That it's not limited to people coming back from the war, but we have post-traumatic stress disorder. Getting diagnosed with Parkinson's or having a loved one diagnosed with Parkinson's is stress, a serious stress. A stress disorder. So I think it should be treated as such. And that's something that I've come up with recently and I've been talking about a lot, post-traumatic stress disorder. The next thing you go through is, what do you think this is?
Denial.
Denial. Denial. When I went through denial, I remember the shock and the denial of seeing white light. I don't know if anyone else has had this experience. But I saw a white light. I drove home, and I don't remember driving home or driving back to work that day. And it was like everything was in slow motion. I'd had experiences twice before in my life. I was in a bus accident when I was in camp, and the bus actually tipped over. People went flying. Glass was everywhere. It was pretty traumatic. I also was in a bus accident going back to law school in a Greyhound bus that went into the trees after hitting some black ice. And you have black ice around here, right?
No.
They have it in Saskatoon. In Saskatoon they have it. They don't have it here. But after hitting the black ice, went into the trees. And actually, bus driver was killed tragically. And I saw a white light then when we were sliding down the highway sideways, and I saw trees going by. It's wild. By the way, if you see me on a bus, get off the bus. That's clearly what you need to do. The third thing I want to talk about is, in the emotional roller coaster, I call it, is depression. That you're going to feel depression. And guess what? It ain't your fault. You didn't cause your Parkinson's. You have nothing to be ashamed of. If you get depressed, you need to deal with it. You weren't riding a motorcycle without a helmet on. You didn't go to a second-rate bungee company. You didn't do anything like that. You didn't cause this, so you don't need to be ashamed of it. First time I felt depression, I can remember I was driving along and I went into the deepest, darkest hole. I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but I felt like I didn't care if I lived or died. And I said, what is this? I've never experienced anything like this. I was always a really optimistic kid. I remember the time that I didn't let my brother get into a fort that I made, and he hit me over the head with a rock. It wasn't really nice of me to not let him be in the fort, but hitting him over the head with a rock was a bit much. I went and had to have 10 stitches. When I tell the story, it's 10. He tells the story, it's 2, but it was 10. I can tell you it was 10. My brother had to go to bed, my sister went to bed, and they kept me up because I had to check for a concussion. So I got to stay up late, which was a big treat. And then they brought out ice cream for me, especially for me, because I had a tough day. And I said, I'm the luckiest person in the world. That's how optimistic I am. Well, this was something that I couldn't deal with. And I went into depression about 2 weeks later, went into it again, and at least I knew I was going to come out of it. And when I came out of it, I went to the doctor and I got antidepressants. And I'm not ashamed of that. I have Parkinson's, for goodness sake. Of course I'm going to be depressed. There's less dopamine in my brain. That dopamine is a pleasure center of the brain. I'm going to be depressed. So taking the antidepressants helped, and that's what you need to do. You need to do what you need to do to feel better. And that's the overall theme of what I'm talking about. You need to do what it takes to have this experience of Parkinson's be as good as it can be. You need to influence your experience of Parkinson's. You need to be your own doctor. Go see your doctor, but be your own doctor. Don't rely upon just the doctor. You have to do your own research and your own work. And it's hard work, but you need to do it. In fact, it's your job. I'll say it that way. It's your job now. Your job is to be as healthy as possible for as long as you can possibly be healthy. And you need to do whatever it takes to do that. The next thing describes is fear. You're going to experience fear. There's the fear of the unknown. Some of you are in wheelchairs. I expect I'll be in a wheelchair someday. There's some fear there. How will I handle it? How will I deal with it? In fact, yesterday my foot cramped. I have dystonia on my left foot. I don't know if anyone else has dystonia. Does anyone else have dystonia? How does your dystonia present itself? So she wakes up with a fierce pain in her foot, and in the middle of the night. What I have is dystonia. What I have is my foot cramps and it turns to the side, and it's very painful. Well, it happened when I got off the plane in Toronto, and fortunately there was someone with a wheelchair nearby, and I took my first wheelchair ride in the airport. It was cool. And I say it was cool because I got to go through customs very quickly. And I had a close connection, and I didn't realize it, so I would not have made my flight had I not found this person with a wheelchair. So, I don't know, everything happens for a reason. There are no coincidences. It happened for a reason. I caught my flight and got back home. Why do you think I showed iceberg?
The unknown?
That's good. There's so much below the surface of Parkinson's. You know what's above the surface, the tremoring hand, the altered gait, the altered facial expressions. But there's so much more to Parkinson's, as you've come to learn. There's the lack of self-image, the lack of self-confidence, the reduction in earning capacity. We always joke whenever we go to conferences how many times I say constipation, 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 constipation. So they say it 12, 14 times usually. There's all sorts of things that go beyond what you can actually see that people are dealing with. And that's what I wanted to depict here. Educated discipline. You need to educate yourself, and by being here, that's something you're doing. You're educating yourself. And then you need to have the discipline to do what you need to do. And that's what I call educated discipline. There's a lot of things out there that are off the wall, and you need to educate yourself on those things and not do them. But there's many things that you need to find out for yourself and then educate yourself and be disciplined. Educate yourself. It's an overall theme of mine. You need to do the work yourself. Don't rely on others. You can use other people, but do it yourself. Form your team. Now, your team is not just your movement disorder specialist, your rehab nurse, your physical therapist. Your team is much more expansive than that. If you're still working, your team is an employment attorney to advise you on how to deal with your workplace. You don't know what FMLA means or ADA, or maybe you do, but they're the experts on it. You need to find an employment lawyer and make them an advisor to you. When do you tell your employer? How do you tell your employer? That sort of thing. You don't have the expertise. Just know enough that you don't know. Know enough to know you don't know. You need a benefits attorney. You need a disability attorney. You need a massage therapist. I love having a massage therapist. If I had the money, I would have a massage every day. I found in Malaysia, we found a thing called Rolfing. Does anyone know what Rolfing is? Do you do Rolfing?
My sister does.
What it is, it's a very deep massage, and it really, really does affect the muscles, and it's very painful when you're doing it. But when you're done, you feel like $1 million. And they actually have someone in Sarasota that does it. And I go see her from time to time. But Rolfing, when I did in Malaysia, I did three sessions. And she put me up against the wall and took pictures of me from the front, the side, the back, and the other side. And after the third session, I went from being like this to being like this. And my wife always says to me, put your shoulders back, put your shoulders back, put your shoulders back. Well, it wasn't natural for my shoulders to be back. The muscles were tight, and I was leaning forward. So after having Rolfing three times, I was able to naturally have my shoulders go back. So I didn't have to work at it. I didn't have to think about it. It made such a difference. So that's educating yourself. That's another educating yourself, and that's forming your team. Find yourself a Rolfer or a massage therapist. But there's all sorts of people that are outside, that you have to think outside the box and create a team around yourself. Reclaim your perspective. I made up the word perspective, positive perspective. I can prove to you that having a positive perspective makes a difference in your Parkinson's experience. I can prove it to you. You know they do those clinical trials? You know what the placebo effect is? What the placebo effect is they have to have a group of people taking sugar pills and another group of people taking the medicine. And the reason for that is because during the first 3 months, both groups have the same benefit. You think you're taking the medicine and you think you're going to get better, and you get better, even if you're taking a sugar pill. It's amazing. There's also the opposite effect. People who are taking the medicine that don't have any benefit because they're negative, pessimistic people, and they think they're taking a sugar pill. It's amazing. But it proves to you that the power of the mind, being positive, makes a difference. That you can actually have beneficial effects from sugar pills. Believe in yourself and your team. It's a big theme of mine. Believe in yourself, believe in your team. And let me talk about believing in yourself. Remember when you got home when you were 10 or 12 years old and you walked in the house and said, I'm home! Nobody might be home, but you announced your presence with authority. That was pretty fun. That was a fun time of your life. Somewhere along the way, we lost that. You need to regain your shout. And I use Tim's story from that. Regain your shout, he calls it. I'm home! I don't know if you know who this is. Anybody a Boston Red Sox fan?
Ted Williams
was thought of as an arrogant, I call it confident, but he was interviewed when he was 65 years old by a reporter and asked the question, how do you think you'd do against today's pitching? And he's the last person to bat over 400. He batted over 400 in 1941. It's been a long time. That's how difficult it is to do this. And he said he'd bat about 200, which is not very good. And the reporter said, I'm shocked. How can you say the pitchers are that much better today than they were back when you were playing? And he said, my goodness, I'm 65 years old. How do you think I do against today's pitching? What's crazy about that is he still thinks he could get two hits out of every 10 times up against today's pitching. And he's 65 years old, when he was 65 years old. That's confidence. That's believing in yourself. And you need to start with believing in yourself and then believe in others. Muhammad Ali, talk about someone who believed in himself. I am the greatest. I said that even before I knew I was. I love that quote. Let's get down to brass tacks. What you need to do is come up with a daily action plan. A daily action plan. That's things you do every day. Daily action plan. On a Saturday or a Sunday, you schedule out your next week. You schedule out when you're going to work out. You schedule out when you're going to eat. You schedule out what fun things you're going to do, what mental exercise you're going to do. You schedule it out. And they're daily action items. They're not big picture things. Like, I'm going to ride the bike more. I'm going to exercise more. They're daily action items. And the first experience I had with daily action items, what I write about in my book, Decide Success, is I decided in 10th grade I wanted to go to law school. I watched Perry Mason. I love Perry Mason. Does anyone remember Perry Mason? You know how you never get on the stand with 5 minutes to go, because you'll confess to the crime. So I don't know why the person who did it is in the courtroom in the first place. I'd be 100 miles away. But that's just something that funny that occurred to me, Perry Mason. I wouldn't be in the courtroom. So I used to watch Perry Mason and imagine I was him doing a closing argument, and I ended up being a trial lawyer, so I got to do that, and that was fun. But when I looked at myself and I said, I'm in 10th grade, I have mediocre grades, my dad just told me he doesn't have enough money to put me through college, he's a high school teacher. My resume didn't have much on it, my application, and I made the decision to my daily action items were go to class, be prepared for class, study for the tests, get a job. So I worked at International House of Pancakes at night and do extracurricular activities. I became the student body president and I played soccer. That's what I needed to do. On a daily basis, I did those things every single day. Well, my daily action items, and you need to come up with your own daily action items, were time and medication, healthy diet, exercise beyond my comfort zone, stay engaged. Time and medication. Use an alarm. You don't want to go past your time and then have to deal with dystonia or deal with off periods or whatever. Use a timer, whatever works for you, so you take your medicine on a timely basis. Healthy diet. You got to stop eating out of a different parking lot. When I talk about healthy diet, I talk about doing it to a real extent. That means no soda, no diet soda, water, drink water. I only drink water. That's all I drink. You can have coffee. I don't drink coffee, but you can have coffee. But no sugary drinks, not even Gatorade, nothing. What I call it is fatty, fast, or fatty, fast, what's the other F?
I could use another F, but I won't.
fatty, fast, and...
Frequently, I don't know.
Fried.
Fried. Thank you. I don't eat anything fatty, I don't eat anything fast food, I don't eat anything fried. That's a good start. Then my next comment is watch documentaries. There's lots of documentaries out there. Pick a documentary, watch one a week. Food Matters, Forks Over Knives, Vegetated. There's lots of documentaries. I don't have to go through them. You can find them yourself. And it'll change your way of thinking about diet. My way of thinking now is I eat to bring it, to put fuel in my body. Am I going to put 92 octane or am I going to put 87 octane? That's my decision. I eat to exercise. And I exercise beyond my comfort zone. That's me doing kettlebells. The person who ran the class when he first met me said, there's no way that John can do this. And I'm a pretty competitive person. People say no way, and it makes me angry. And I use that anger for my own good. So I started, I actually worked with my wife, who's an exercise, I call her an exercise enthusiast. And I was watching her one morning do Shaun T Insanity. I don't know if you've ever heard of Shaun T. It's on an infomercial at night. And he does, she's jumping over imaginary logs. I thought I was the one that hallucinated. She's doing the Heisman maneuver. She doesn't understand football, but she can still do the Heisman maneuver. And she's doing all these exercises. So I watched her for a couple times, and then I said, I'm going to try that. I'm going to do that. So I did it, and I didn't do it well. I said to her, if you were designing an exercise program for me, how would you do it? And she said, well, first, I would put you on a treadmill and get you used to being on a treadmill for an hour a day. And then I'd move you to an elliptical machine, and then I'd move you to the spin bike, and you'd do interval training on the spin bike, and gradually move up, because you can't just start from nothing. And some of you might not be able to do any of that, and that's fine. You'll find what you can do. There's a thing called ageless grace that is something that you can do. You can do dance for Parkinson's. I actually paid him to do that. The music. There's lots of different exercises you can do, but you need to do it beyond your comfort zone. And it may not be much, but you got to get beyond your comfort zone. And that's something that I heard at a conference once, and I thought that was really powerful. So then we moved to core training with the kettlebells, and I ended up doing boxing. And when we say beyond your comfort zone, that means exercise 6 or 7 days a week, not 3 to 4. What you're trying to do is transform yourself. And if you see, I'll show you a picture in a second of what I looked like 4 years ago. I have transformed myself. And what you need is a transformation. You've got Parkinson's. You've got a progressive, degenerative, tough for me to say, incurable disease. You need to get as healthy as you can possibly be, and I'm healthier now than I've ever been in my life. Discipline. It doesn't want to get off discipline. Let me give you the perspective, because a lot of you, I think, need perspective, and I need perspective as well. My son once asked me, what's the worst thing that ever happened in your life? And I said to him, well, let me think about it, Joe. And he said, Dad, why do you always have to think about things? Why can't you just answer the question? And I said, because I'm a lawyer, and I think about things, and I want to give you a thoughtful answer. That's pretty cool. So I came to him the next day and I said to him, nothing. Your sister didn't die. My daughter was born with a birth defect that gave her a 40% chance of living, and she lived. I imagined what her funeral would be like. It didn't happen. So I said to him, nothing. That's pretty powerful.
Thank you for listening to our inaugural show for South Shore Healthy Aging, where Mr. Bauman inspired many during this first of a three-part segment. The rest of his presentation will be aired at the same time next month. If you would like more information about Parkinson's disease and local resources in our area, such as our monthly support group, please visit our website at mentalhealthandaging.org or call the Coalition at 813-419-4902. Again, that website is mentalhealthandaging.org and the phone number is 813-419-4902. Be sure to tune in to our next show, where our goal is to provide all of our South Shore community neighbors with aging well options for both mind and body. This is Debbie Kanin inviting you to enjoy the programs on our local radio station, and thanks for listening.